This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Here's another Saturday Magazine podcast brought to you by Joy sponsor, Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12, on Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Saturday Magazine with Janet Jukes, Melinda Rich and myself, Tass, while Macca is overseas. So he would ordinarily say something like, radio made by us, for us.
You did that quite well.
Do you reckon?
Done. Yes. Okay. He'll probably send us a text and give us a critique.
Okay, our first guest for the morning is Catherine King. Catherine King is a member for Ballarat and the Federal Opposition Minister for Health. Good morning to you, Catherine.
Good morning. Lovely to be with you.
Great to have you in the studio. We've got an action-packed show this morning, being the week before the Victorian state election, so we've got lots to talk about. But we were particularly keen to chat with you about what's occurring with the My Healthcare record. Now, I did hear a little birdie say during the week that they've extended the opt-out period by 12 months. Is that correct?
No, it's not correct. We tried really hard. The Senate sat this week in Canberra and we tried really hard to get an agreement to get the opt-out period extended for a further 12 months. We unfortunately failed in that attempt. One Nation decided that they'd band together with the government and we've got an extension for 2.5 months. So now the opt-out period will close on the 31st of January. So if people want to opt out of the My Health record or they want to get more information, they've now got till the 31st of January. It was going to finish on last Thursday, but we've got a slight extension, not the 12 months that we wanted. So people have got a little bit more time to get their heads across the My Health record, make a decision about it, but 31st of January was the most we can do. We may have some other opportunities when the House of Reps sits, but I think at this stage that's the most we're able to actually get the government to. We tried our best, but unfortunately the Senate defeated us in the end there.
So you've got your finger on the pulse and you're obviously listening to what, you know, the electorate and constituents and people in the nation are saying. Why are people really anxious about My Healthcare record? Is this real? Is this, you know, is there a real reason to be concerned?
Well, look, I think there's a couple of things. So when the system was originally developed, and Labor developed it in government, to have, you know, it's a good idea to have a digital health record that you can have, you can take with you, it's your record, that you can then show to other providers, have other providers look at health so that you don't get, you know, misdiagnosis or information not being shared between healthcare practitioners. You know, one of the things, particularly people with chronic disease, talk about is that they're constantly being asked to do tests over and over again. People get, having to constantly tell their story about, you know, what their illnesses is, what tests they've had done, what medications they're on. If you're in the case of an emergency, you end up in the emergency department of a hospital, they will not have access to your medical records, so they've got to waste time trying to find out what medications you're on, trying to get information. So it's a really important system to try and actually get better care for patients across the country, so better information flow. It started, though, as an opt-in system, so that an informed consent model where you say, OK, I'm happy to sign up to this My Health record, I'm going to actively make decisions about who sees my information and what information they see, and it's a real partnership with my healthcare provider. Not enough people signed up, so we had, when we left government, about 1 million people had signed up, but in order for the system to be used by doctors and other healthcare professionals, you need a lot of people involved in it and a lot of doctors engaged in it. Government took the decision to go to opt-out so that a record will be created for you unless you say, no, I definitely don't want one. So what they didn't do then is go back and look at the whole, not just the legislation protecting privacy and security, but they then didn't look at all the default settings, and so they didn't go back and have a look at it. So the anxiety that's come about is that there's not been a lot of education about it. Government hasn't run, you know, TV ads or a lot of social media marketing explaining to people, this is what it is, this is the information it'll carry. This is what you need to do as a consumer who, you know, this is your information after all, to actively manage the Your My Health Record account. And so people have gone, oh, what is this thing? No information from the government. And there have been some data breaches, not huge ones to date, but there is some, you know, when you have a big database like this, there is the possibility that data is going to get breached. And
of course.
So we've been saying all along, look, we think people need to be able to actively make a choice about this. They need to be fully informed about what it is. They need the opportunity to talk to their healthcare provider about what it's going to mean for them and their relationship with that healthcare provider. And we need to make sure we've got the security and privacy settings right. And that's going to take a little bit more time. But
so, Catherine, for a number of members of our community who are quite concerned about the stigma attached to certain conditions, whether it be a mental health condition or a bloodborne virus or whatever else. I mean, how can people feel confident that that information isn't going to get exposed or shared or seen by people who they don't want to see? I mean, that isn't that sort of really the nut of it?
It certainly can be, and I think there's a couple of things there. The first is if you decide with your healthcare provider that a My Health Record, because of the condition that you've got, is actually something really important, and that's important for you and your healthcare because it may be something that's important if you do in the case of an emergency or if something happens and you need that information to be shared, that's actually really important. The first thing is that if you've decided you're going to have a My Health Record is to go in and to actually look at what's on there. You can remove information if you don't want it to be on there. You can also remove providers. And there's also a thing called the default settings in terms of second-party researchers. There will be access to this de-identified data over the longer term for research purposes, and that the default setting is that's automatically what will happen. You can cut that out. So if you've decided to keep a My Health Record, then that's really important. I'd also encourage people to talk to their medical practitioner. So if it's, if you want your GP to have access to that information, but you don't want your dentist, podiatrist or others, make sure you shut all that down on your My Health Record. But also talk to your doctor about, well, what are the security measures that you've got in place in your practice to ensure that people aren't actually accessing passwords. It's only healthcare providers who are able to access it, but of course it will depend on the system settings of your doctor. The other option is if you've decided, look, you don't want a My Health Record, you don't feel confident about it, is to opt out, but you've only got until the 31st of January to say, I don't want a My Health Record. The legislation that you will, beyond the 31st of January, once the legislation passes, you will be able to then say, along the way, if you decide you want to have a record created for you and you want that deleted, you can do that. But again, you're going to have to actively go and do that.
Catherine, obviously a big issue with people living with HIV is stigma and discrimination. That's the main reason
Absolutely.
Why people are unable to access treatments, but why we've still got a large number of people who are living with HIV but aren't diagnosed or aren't engaged with any services. And what would you say to them about accessing this? Because obviously you've got a chronic manageable illness, health practitioners knowing about their issue or their disease is really, really important. So what would you say to them?
Well, what I would say is that, this is a very individual choice, but what I would say is this is, your relationship with your medical practitioner is really important, particularly if you've got HIV, if you've got chronic conditions that really need active management. That relationship is absolutely critical, and have a chat to them and talk it over with them about what they think is going to be the most important thing for you. It may be that your medical practitioner says, look, you and I have enough of a relationship, I've got the network of people. You may not necessarily need to have the My Health Record, or they may say, look, we think this is important, but let's have a look at the settings on it and try and help through. About that relationship, I think, that's going to be important. And I absolutely understand the fear around discrimination, particularly if that information's out more broadly than you want it to be.
Catherine, it's Melinda. One, I guess, final question and just a quick response. Technology is a wonderful thing, and this is giving people the power to make decisions. But what support is there for people to figure out how to navigate this system and set this all up correctly for themselves?
Exactly. That's the point we've been trying to make. And as I said, we're in opposition and we've been trying to, I guess, now we think this is important reform, but we think it's important to get it right. And people do need help. You can go to your primary health network. There's 31 of those across the country that cover every part of Australia. You could go to them and ask for help there. But the government hasn't put anything in place. And again, we were saying this is what you need to do in the next 12 months to actually actively help people. It is a little tricky to navigate. I've had to do it with myself and I need to go back in again. And it is a bit tricky. You've got to have a MyGov account to start with. And you've got to.
So, Catherine, have you opted in then?
Yeah, I've stayed in and my family has as well. But I've, you know, gone in and taken information out and decided that there's things I don't think people need to know about. So I've gone in and done that. I need to go back in because it's not something you can just do once. You've got to go in and look at it constantly. So the first thing that will happen when a record's created is 2 years of your Medicare and pharmaceutical benefit schedule data will be uploaded onto your MyHealth record. So all of that information will be there automatically, and you've got to go in and decide if you want, you know, you don't want all of that in there. So so there isn't, unfortunately, the government has not put in place, you know, you can't go in and talk to someone about it and have some assistance with the settings and things like that. You can ring the Digital Health Agency and ask them. There is a bit of a wait at the moment in terms of doing that if you need some assistance, but that's one of the things we've been criticising the government about.
And Thank you, Catherine. It's been very informative, actually. It's answered a number of our questions this morning. I know we've had a couple of listeners who've come in with various bits of feedback, so we'll keep an eye on that, and we might actually come back and have another conversation with you about that as it evolves in the near future. Thank you very much for your time this morning.
Good to talk to you.
Yeah, it's always great to chat with you and to hear what's occurring at a federal level.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.